So I got to tell you, as we start our teaching time this morning, about a time I was in agony and real suffering. I truly was suffering. I could not walk because my foot was throbbing. I had been playing football on the beach with a bunch of college guys, and I had been going back for a pass to catch the football, and as I did, my one foot slipped in the sand, and my other foot flung and slammed into this one guy's leg, and immediately my foot and leg started just throbbing. I mean, just pain just shot up my leg out of my foot. When that happened, I looked down. Of course, I was barefoot in the sand, and I looked down, and immediately one of my toes started to swell up and turn blue. It was a great moment. Pain shooting up my leg. And it was so bad, somebody ran to get me ice, but it didn't help, and somebody had to drive the couple hours home from the beach. It was really, really something. And almost, again, almost immediately, just this swelling and this blue showed up on this toe. And once I got home, I tried all the normal stuff, like more ice and elevation, and nothing changed the pain. And so I hobbled around for several days, and finally Nance looked at me. We were a young couple, no kids yet. She looked at me, and she said, "John, that toe is probably broken. You better go to the doctor. Better go to the doc with it." And I looked at her, and I said, "Nah, it's not broken. No way." I'm like, it's just bruised or something else. You know, it'll heal, I said. I kept limping and wincing as I did. 2 weeks later, I just heard a guy chuckle. How many of you guys would also do this? Come on, be honest. Yeah, 2 weeks later, I sat there in the doc's office, and he took one look at the foot. And he said, "I'll tell you what, young man, that's broken." And I looked back at him, and I said, "That's exactly what I thought." He handed me a roll of white medical tape, and he said, "Tape it to the nearby toe, it'll heal." Now, what was going on there? Besides my being a thick-headed male, what was really going on? Well, I was not open at all to help, either asking for it or receiving it. I wasn't open. What's it look like to seek and receive help as sinners and sufferers? We're all in that camp, sinners and sufferers. I am. You are. As we draw closer to Jesus' heart today, here's a rich insight. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize." Now, note that, grab hold, right there. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Note that. Verse 16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Score your heart right now. In the following areas, I want to invite you to score. I need help in, and a 5. If you give yourself a 5, it means, yes, I'm deeply needy in that area. And a 1 means, nah, not so much or not at all. I'm really not in need right there. And here's a set of areas. I need help in my family. We've got conflict or other issues happening in our family. 5 means, yeah, really need help. A 1, not so much. I need help dealing with anxiety. maybe loops of worry, maybe even dire mental health situations. I need help facing financial challenges because I or we are struggling to make it. I need help battling tempting demons of addiction. Or I need help to stand strong in the face of heartache and hopeless events. Or I need help to wisely choose regarding my future in the face of big decisions. Or I need help, fill in the blank. Could be something else. Now, if you've got 1-5 from that list, your heart needs serious help. And if you've got more than 1-5, you really, really need serious help. And you say, thanks for that encouragement, John. It's true. It's true for any of us. A little bit of advance notice today. Jesus' heart, in the next few minutes, will probably stretch, push, and pull you. Each of us in the next few minutes. So I'm going to urge you right now to pray in your heart, quietly, privately. I want to urge you to just pray, I'm open, ready for your help, Jesus. I'm open, ready for your help, Jesus. Here's what we're going to unpack in Hebrews 4 this morning. Here's our key theme, our big idea. Jesus' sympathetic heart brings your heart, your heavy, hurting heart, all the help you need. So draw near. Jesus' heart, sympathetic heart, brings your heavy, hurting heart all the help you need. So draw near. See, reality is so often my life, your life, our various circumstances feel like a dumpster fire, feel like everything around us is burning down in the background, and we're heavy-hearted, hurting. Jesus' sympathetic heart brings your heart, your heavy, hurting heart, all the help you need. So draw near. This cluster of verses in Hebrews actually syncs in profound ways with what we've been learning in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Hear Jesus call again, come to me. Draw near. Come to me, Jesus says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' most profound self-revelation right here. This cluster of lines, this incredible self-revelation. It's really like you're sitting over coffee with Jesus. Imagine it. You're sitting there over coffee, and he leans closer toward you to say, let me tell you what you'll see, hear, feel, sense consistently from me when you keep coming to me, when you keep drawing near. Let me tell you what you'll really encounter when you keep coming to me and encountering my heart, when you apprentice with me, when you commit to follow me, to really be my disciple. See, like no other place in the Gospels, Jesus shares his deep heart and profound promise. Gentle and lowly. Humble and approachable, his heart for us. So we come to him, we apprentice with him as devoted followers, learners, disciples. We gain refreshing rest, his constant presence with us. An easier yoke than when we've been trying to do it all on our own. In tandem with Jesus' heart, we gain his joyous and happy heart. As we follow and love him, we learn his sympathetic heart, so capable of meeting our deepest needs and transforming our hearts to be like his heart. we need help that's truly tangible. Not just sounds good in platitudinous phrases, no, truly tangible. Every one of us, we want to know the who, what, why, and how behind such help. You're that way about getting help when your vehicle needs service. Not just anybody will do. Who, what, why, how to get it fixed. It's true when you need a good meal with people you love. Not just anywhere. No. Who, what, why, how. A sudden serious medical need. Who, what, why, how. It's seriously important. And so right here is where Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 takes us. So let's dive into this. First, notice who. Who we encounter Jesus and his heart. His beautiful heart. The writer of Hebrews refers to him as a great high priest. Now this, friends, this is bold connection for God's ancient people, the Israelites, plus our current day growing understanding together of God's redemption plans. Based on old lines in Exodus and Leviticus, the high priest from the tribe of Levi represented the people to God and God to the people as their holy helper. God, Father God, as holy helper for his people. The high priest was fully equipped to offer the best leadership in a multiplex of ways. Sacrifices to cover sin, offerings of gratitude for good blessings from the Lord, leadership for social issues, health and wellness issues. The high priest was, in a sense, therapist, nutrition consultant, special disease doctor, and property safety inspector, all rolled into one, the high priest. Amazing societal framework came through the wise, decisive, divine leadership of the high priest. The high priest's chief role, don't miss this, chief role of the high priest came with the annual Day of Atonement. That yearly sacrifice time covering all the people's sins and shame and guilt and blame. Now, right here, Hebrews writer connects Jesus as the ultimate high priest of the new covenant, the grand finale fulfillment of all that was needed and anticipated for us as sinful, suffering, needy humans. People just like you and me. Jesus' sympathetic heart brings your heavy, hurting heart all the help you need, so draw near. Now, all the old covenant system of ritual sacrifice and societal framework was longing for and pointing toward. All of it got delivered once and for all in Jesus' heart, his work on the cross, and his ascension back to the Father. Wondrous to ponder and to believe it. Make sure we hold fast in confession. See that good confession, that confession we're called to hold fast to, it's something that starts in your heart as agreeing with God about all this and saying, oh yes, it's all about Jesus. Oh yes, he alone can solve my sin problem, my deepest need. He alone can bring me wisdom for daily living. He alone, all about Jesus. That good confession is that kind of focus where our heart syncs up with the Father's heart. Yes, we confess. Then we hold fast to that confession. That's the who for meeting our deepest need as sinners and sufferers. Next, notice what. What? Jesus' sympathy. His sympathy. Now there's something intriguing that happens here. He can't not sympathize. The double negative is a unique way of making the amazing point. Jesus has full capacity to sympathize. When's the last time you were really moved by sympathy? Now, I'm so grateful. It's happened to me other times, many more times in the years, over the years. I recall back when my grandfather died when I was 15. I was 15, and a friend, another 15-year-old, so moved me with a note, a written note that just said, "I don't know what to say." It's good honesty. "I don't know what to say, but I feel so deeply for you, and I am praying for you, John, with great love." I was so moved by that. Most commonly, we think of sympathy as pity for someone. But this word in the ancient language actually means to fully share in someone's suffering, and then you're uniquely qualified to authentically, actively help. To fully share in someone's suffering, and then you're uniquely qualified to authentically, actively help. Genuine sympathy, Jesus' heart of sympathy, is not just gushy feelings for someone who's hurting. Jesus' sympathy means he's not aloof. It's his unique heart and skill with us and for us. He has true solidarity with us based on his own true, rugged, one-of-a-kind humanity. Now, in our need as sinners and sufferers, we hear the who, we hear the what, now here's the why. Why can he fully sympathize? Jesus walked in our shoes, fully experiencing all the same ups and downs, trials, temptations, just like us. Reading through the Gospels, we see it in living color, fully human. Fully human, he walked through all our same needy places, but he never caved. It's mind-boggling, really. When facing sorrow, weariness, hostility, rejection, temptation to retaliate, or temptation to grab power, or self-centered gratification, he stood strong and did not sin. Ever. He never failed, though he faced all the same agony like we do. He was unfriended, exhausted, canceled, gossiped about, pushed to the edge, scorned, yet he never caved in to sin's wily, self-consuming ways. Never. Jesus' sympathetic heart brings your heavy heart and mine, our hurting hearts, all the help we need. Draw near. So pause to reflect for a moment. That score your heart exercise we did at the start, think on this. He fully knows and fully sympathizes. Our current day English word, empathize, actually connects us with Jesus' heart in unique ways. In fact, some translations use that right here, empathize. All you're facing right now, he knows, he cares deeply, and he's ready, willing, and fully able to help. Here comes the how. The how. How do we find help as sinners and sufferers? Verse 16 says, draw near. That's how. Draw near. It's a word that speaks of intentionally stepping forward, coming close for God's provision. To draw near, what? If you're going to draw near someone, something, what do you have to do? Step that way. Come close. Come closer. Take that step. It's used of food. Getting food when you're hungry. In Exodus 16:9, when God's people were hungry out in the wilderness. It's used regarding, for those same people, priestly atoning work in Leviticus 9. There's more detail from the Hebrews writer. Did you catch it? Draw near with confidence. Be bold, frank even. Come courageously close. Where? To the throne of grace. It's royal imagery for the place of his kingly presence. Right there, his kind help, his grace and mercy flow our way through Christ's work and heart for us. We now have access, full access. Think on it. We can draw near and get all the help we need through his rich supply of grace and mercy. Whenever, always, forever. Nothing blocking it. So when you're facing distress, tragedy, temptation, trials, and all manner of exhaustion and exasperation, Jesus' sympathetic heart brings your heavy, hurting heart all the help you need. So draw near. Draw near. So often, your life and mine feels like that dumpster fire, and he's saying, draw near. I'm right there to wrap you up. I'm right there to pull you close, but step toward me. Draw near, and then right there, I'll meet you with my sympathetic heart, bringing your heavy, hurting heart all the help you need. How? Confidently come near. Now, maybe, if you're like me, you're just practical enough that you say, oh, okay, all right, wonderful. Great. But let's not leave this in fuzzy, ethereal terms full of truly good but wispy intentions. Let's really talk how. Perhaps you've already thought of several practical ways. Great. Hold on to those. Good. But let me give you five draw-near steps that I find really helpful. Five draw-near, step closer steps that are really helpful. And what I'll share, let me tell you in advance, they're both attitude and action steps, and they go together. First draw near step, here's the first one, on the go convo with God. On the go convo with God. Start to think more and more about your relationship with God like you're traveling together on a cross-country trip every day. You're walking together every day. It's this on the go convo. This is real-time prayer. Remember, today's words start out very priestly sounding, and then they get applied to Jesus, and then it gets pulled into our own very down-to-earth, ordinary existence. Everyday humans, you and I, get to access Jesus' gracious help, radiant, powerful, merciful hope, and effective strength. Such effective strength in real time. Now, here's the big point. Stop thinking he's aloof. Stop putting prayer way off there somewhere, like he's way off there somewhere, and just somehow I gotta get his attention. Don't worry about flowery language. Don't wait for Sundays and bring your list or that someday when you discover the fancy formula that finally breaks through. No. Draw near sooner, not later. Let growing awareness of his nearness, increasing trust in his gentle and lowly heart for you, stir you to pray across your day, every day, in real time. That constant convo with God. Real-time prayer is born of growing trust. Real-time prayer is born of growing trust. Don't wait 2 weeks to go to the doctor with your throbbing toe. Hey, who would do that? Don't make prayer your last resort. Don't act like Jesus is less effective than all those apps you readily tap on your phone. Do you realize most of us put more trust in the apps on our phone than we do in King Jesus? Make approaching him your first response. Here's the second draw near step. Grow courageously confident. Make space in your life to grow your confidence. Courage in your praying. Just shoot straight with God. Boldly, honestly, share your heart. His heart can handle your heart. How you think and feel. Your pain, your shame, your guilt, your dreams, your heartaches, and your biggest hunger. Just come to him. Draw near. He's got you. Really, he does. So be bolder, more confident, more courageous. Have you ever had somebody else, like an employee or a coworker or one of your kids or grandkids, and they come and they kind of hang close, and you can tell they want something, but then they just can't quite get it out. Or maybe you've been that person, you know, and then finally, what do you say? You're finally like, just out with it. What do you need? Come on, say it. It's why I'm here. I say to my boys from time to time, because they'll do this, I kind of hem and haw or something, and I'll just look at them and I'm like, what do you really need? After all, I am a good, good father. What do you really need? Come on, out with it. And God's saying the same thing to us. You're truly one of a kind, good, good father. He says it, come on, out with it. Be bold. Jesus wants you to pray gutsy, bold prayers. When's the last time you actually prayed a gutsy, bold prayer? Truly. Here's the third step for drawing near. Tap his tried and true words. Tap his tried and true words, the ancient stories and songs and precepts and prophecies, essential and life-giving every day. God's words, Jesus' own holy words for you. I love it. I got to tell you, so many of you in really great ways have been letting me know what you're doing in God's word this year. Whole bunch of you have joined in that prayer app challenge that I tossed out in the opening week or two of the year about the plan on you version that is one story leads to Jesus. A whole bunch of you have been telling me you're in that. Others of you are doing other things and you've told me about it. So good. Why? Why? Because truth leaks. Have you noticed that? Truth leaks. Well, we get some truth in our hearts and minds, and then what happens? We go through the rough and tumble, we go through some hurts and hang-ups and heartaches, and what happens? The truth leaks out, and I get forgetful, and then our hearts get kind of resistant, we won't go to the doctor with our big toe, and all that kind of stuff, and truth leaks, and we need daily, even multiple times a day, reminders. So tap his tried and true words, the ancient stories and songs and precepts. As we do, we get to know his heart by being in his word. Draw near right there. Here's the fourth step. Fourth step, reflect. This is huge, huge. Reflect Christ's heart to others. Reflect Christ's heart to others. See, not everybody is readily right on the ready up there close to Jesus' heart. And there's plenty of times they need to sense and see and experience Jesus' heart through you. And once again, this is one of those things that more and more of you are catching on to in really, really great ways. I love it. So many of you are writing names for out there on the prayer curtain about people you're loving and impacting with the heart of Christ. It's so good. We got to be ready to reflect Christ's heart to others. Learn Jesus. Learn, really learn Jesus' sympathetic heart for you. Really learn it. And your heart will draw nearer other people's suffering and sinfulness. You will. I shared this last year, but I want to share it again in case you missed it or maybe need reminded. This is still unfolding, changing, and growing for me constantly because just like you, I'm always a work in process. So this is real time, Jesus working in me. I do a lot of meetings with people, both one-on-one and groups. A lot of meetings. And honestly, that can feel overwhelming. For a variety of reasons, because life is messy and painful and full of complexity. That's a big one. But also because I'm a weird mix. Some of you probably say you should have just stopped at the weird part. But sincerely, weird mix of extrovert and introvert. Now, that probably can be said for most of us, but for me, it is a unique mix. And that's really, that whole thing, extrovert, introvert, is really probably an oversimplification because there's plenty more to the mess that's me inside. Big parts of my job feel scary and exhausting, and always have. But I've started to realize in the past few years that I can step closer to others with suffering and sinful hearts. I can, and as I do, here's a big part of what helps. I'm learning to cry out. I don't do it perfectly every time, but I'm learning to cry out, Lord, please help me help. Fill in the blank. It could be the person's name I'm going to meet with. It can be a group of people I'm going to meet with. Lord, help me help. Fill in the blank. Now, some of you, the look on your faces, that is not that brilliant a prayer, John. I know. And that's the point. Lord, help me help. Fill in the blank. So, driving to meetings, I used to get, honestly, a dread and an ache inside. And I've realized at some point in the last few years, it's good to turn that churn into prayer. Lord, please help me help. Fill in the blank. And I've discovered, again, you ready? This is profound. He always answers that prayer. I'm serious. Always. See, there are times when I'm sitting there with somebody or several somebodies and something comes out and I'm like, oh, I got nothing. I got no clue. I don't say that out loud, okay? But inside, some of you have been with me in these meetings and you've seen it on my face, maybe. And inside, I'm thinking it and I'm feeling it. And what's happening more and more recently for me is that I can slow down and go, oh, wait, Lord, help me, help. And without fail, either one of two things happens, and sometimes a little of both. Either right there in the mix of that, something comes to mind, or an insight hits me, or most sweetly and profoundly, something from God's word that is going to bring healing and hope and help, and the Holy Spirit brings that to mind, and then afterward, I'll many times go, geez, where did that come from? And then I'm like, well, yeah, duh, John, where did it come from? The Holy Helper himself. There's other times when the person sitting across from you is giving you that blank look, and you've got the blank look, and then all of a sudden they go, you know, I've been thinking maybe I should, or the group together says, you know, what if we, and they start to fill in the blank, and often I just go, yeah, that's it right there. That's the answer. Why? Because we've prayed, Lord, help us help. Lord, help me help. And so I want to just challenge you. All those people whose names you're generating to invite for Easter weekend or others that you're like, oh, it's a really early steps with them and I'm seeking to show them Jesus' heart. I want to challenge you to consider incorporating that right there. Lord, please help me help. One more draw near step and we'll be done. Fifth step, get more vulnerable with Christ and others. Get more vulnerable with Christ and others. Here's the call. Here's the time to drop your ultra-protective gear, your masks and walls. Way more of us really can be way more open. It's a good thing. So learn to drop the phantom mask. Learn to drop that. What about prayer? prayer with others, but both giving it and receiving from others. Prayer team is here at the front on Sundays. Draw near. Step close. Cards in the seat backs. They're there every week. We keep them right there. Draw near. Be open. Slow down in the foyer. Don't just bolt out of here. Slow down. Actually dare to meet somebody you've never met before or somebody you haven't talked to in a long time and engage in convo together. Ask them how they're doing, really. Ask them a next level question. Dare to invite somebody to coffee or lunch this week. When's the last time you did that without a big agenda? Just to love with Jesus' heart and spend some time together. Share a little more or a lot more. Get more vulnerable with Christ and others. I invite you and challenge you to be more vulnerable. Make the most of such draw near ops. Why? Because there are plenty of times when other people, they aren't yet ready immediately on their own to access Jesus' heart, but they can access Jesus' heart through you and his heart through your heart. Dane Ortlund marvelously summarizes Christ's sympathy like this. Look at what Ortlund says. Not only can he alone, meaning Jesus, not only can Jesus alone pull us out of the hole of sin, he alone desires to climb in and bear our burdens. Jesus is able to sympathize. He co-suffers with us. If you are in Christ, you have a friend who, in your sorrow, will never lob down a pep talk from heaven. He cannot bear to hold himself at a distance. Nothing can hold him back. His heart is too bound up with yours. Catch that? Nothing can hold him back. His heart is too bound up with yours. Jesus' sympathetic heart brings your heavy, hurting heart all the help you need. So even in the midst of the dumpster fire, draw near. Flowing from his heart, Christ's ever-present, oh, so close help is so readily available all the time, real time. Church history tells us of St. Patrick of Ireland, 5th century, mover, shaker, missional leader. He understood this, and I want to invite you to listen to this prayer expressing Jesus always near us, heart and help. Listen to this prayer. Christ be with us. Christ before us. Christ behind us. Christ in us. Christ beneath us. Christ above us. Christ on our right. Christ on our left. Christ where we lie. Christ where we sit. Christ, where we arise. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of us. Christ in every eye that sees us. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Christ. May your salvation, O Lord, be ever with us. And we thank you, Savior Jesus. Amen.